Every time it rains pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains.
Swing, baby, you're platinum. It's Brian Noonan in for Steve Cochran on WGN. Saturday would have been Frank Sinatra's 100th birthday. A lot of places paying homage to old Blue Eyes. We're playing some Sinatra music today. Despite not being 100, I still love Frank Sinatra. I love listening to it. I became a big Sinatra fan when the Duets album, when his first Duets album came out.
That's when
I really started listening to Sinatra, and then it just became the thing. One man who knows probably as much about Sinatra as anyone is author Pete Hamill. He joins us now on 720 WGN. He's the author of Why Sinatra Matters, which has a brand new introduction in honor of Frank Sinatra's 100th birthday. Pete, thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
So, why not start with the obvious question? It's the title of the book, 17 Years After His Death. Why does Frank Sinatra still matter?
A number of things, but I don't want to blather too long. Basically, he urbanized American popular music. You know, Crosby was his biggest rival in certain ways, but he was not the singer at 23rd Street at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, he was a different kind of singer, and a very good one. He changed the stereotype of the Italian American. The organ grinder with the monkey vanished from the streets of America. To be Italian American was to be a city person, not a country person, not a peasant transformed to the big cities of America. But as a musician, he was the guy who said to men, essentially, you can have feelings too. It's okay. You can have feelings and you can temper them with a touch of the stoic that you were going to get through things no matter what, even if the girl walked away from you. But that the feelings are nothing to be ashamed of. You're a human being, and you will be for most of your days.
So, Pete,
those things are still alive, it seems to me, in his music.
Besides that, besides being able to tap into the emotion and paint a picture of that emotion and create that mood, what else made Sinatra so unique that he seemed to strike a nerve where the women went crazy for him? Guys all wanted to hang out with him. What did he have, or is it one of those intangibles that you can't quite put a finger on? You just know it when you see it.
Yeah, I think you're right. The last phrase is it. When he walked on a stage, you knew what you were looking at, you thought. When I first saw him back in the 50s at one of the theaters, I said, God, this guy's even better than I thought he was.
Yeah.
And I think that reaction came to a lot of people, which is why he kept touring all the way to the end. And he experimented with new stuff. I love his Joe Beam album, for example. Listening to a kind of pastiche of Latin America and Stan Getz, just a great album, and I can play it every day if I want to. But the other hand is that I remember, you know, people through his songs. I hear suddenly on the radio, "You Go to My Head," and I remember people I knew who are gone. I remember a whole period. I remember when there was a team called the Brooklyn Dodgers. I remember, you know.
Yeah, it conjures up a whole different time.
Memory is associative, yeah. And I don't not weeping or anything. I'm a grown-up. But more or less.
Right, but it's still nice to remember. How much of Sinatra's legend is real, like the alleged mob connections, things like that, and how much over time has just been embellished to create this bigger-than-life persona?
I think maybe 30% is embellished.
Okay. That's not too much, actually.
The notion that the mob created Frank Sinatra is absurd because the mob is interested in money. They would have created 30 Frank Sinatras if they had the chance.
Right.
They had no chance. He knew some of them. He worked in saloons, as he told me once, and he didn't meet any Nobel Prize winners there. You know?
Gee, that's a surprise, Pete.
Yeah. And so, did he know it? Yeah.
But so he obviously, later in life, it seemed like he embraced some of that as either just a cloak or as part of the image, and he figured, in my perception anyway, why downplay it? If that's what people want to think, we'll just go with it and let it take on a life of its own.
If you got the name, you might as well have the game.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. But remember another thing. He was investigated for over and over again for almost 40 years. He was never indicted for anything.
Exactly.
And what prosecutor would have turned aside the indictment of a Frank Sinatra? None. They all want to be on page one. And they could never find anything to be able to do it with. So that's the legend as compared to the facts. And the facts are, as usual, like in many other places, the facts are often more interesting than the legend. The legend is a cliche. The facts are, you know, this is a guy who liked to read. This is a guy who knew the difference between Hemingway and Fitzgerald, and not Ella Fitzgerald, you know.
Well, people can get all the facts in the book, Why Sinatra Matters. Pete Hamill has written a number of books, including A Drinking Life. It's a best-selling memoir of yours. And the book, the Why Sinatra Matters, has a brand-new introduction in honor of Sinatra's 100th birthday. It's a great read. Pete, thanks so much for taking some time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. That's Pete Hamill. The book, again, Why Sinatra Matters, brand-new introduction in honor of Frank's 100th birthday.